Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I have the privilege of addressing you this evening on Christopher Columbus Day, which marks the 497th anniversary of the coming of Christianity to the Americas. Our text for this evening is the epistle read a moment ago from the lectern. What days of spiritual strengthening and challenge these have been for us here at the Congress. Once again, we have been about the Father's business of telling all men the wonderful gospel news, telling everyone what he has done, as the theme of our synodical triennium puts it. And fittingly, we come again at the end of the day to concentrate upon a word of God, and this time the words from the 10th chapter of Romans, penned by the Apostle Paul. We focus our attention especially on Paul's quotation of the 52nd chapter, the 7th verse of the prophecy of Isaiah, where he says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." As we consider the theme, Beautiful Feet, today, we ask God the Holy Spirit to bless our brief meditation upon his word. When Isaiah penned these words, he saw in his faith vision, according to the revelation of God the Holy Spirit, the time when his countrymen, the Israelites, would have been taken captive to Babylon for some 70 years, would finally experience release at the hands of the Lord, who would intervene in a mighty way to effect their rescue at this point, or the latter part of the 6th century B.C. And also in his faith vision, he sees the heralds who are preceding the advancing people of God as they make their way toward the Palestinian homeland, over the mountains of Jerusalem to tell the inhabitants of the city that their people are coming back. There is a grand repatriation of the nation of Israel for 2 generations gone in the land of Babylon. And as they run into the city and blurt out the good news, the people's hearts are filled with exuberant joy, and they are filled with thanksgiving for these heralds who have come and share these wonderful news with them. They show them their love. They embrace them. Even their dirty, begrimed, dust-covered feet appear beautiful in their eyes because of the wonderful tidings they bring. But Isaiah the prophet saw an even larger picture as he recorded these utterances. In the same pericope, the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, the next part of the messenger's declaration upon coming into Jerusalem was, "Thy king reigneth." And Isaiah saw that whereas it seemed for the last decades God had been slumbering, not listening to the prayers of his people, had forgotten about this, now he had risen with his mighty arm, effected their release, and he had taken the kingdom in his hands again. And Isaiah felt that that kingdom would continue until the time that the Messiah would appear and establish himself, the kingdom of God among men, in his own way. That is the reason why St. Paul is justified in citing this quotation from Isaiah in connection with the rest of the words of this chapter, which constitute our reading, pertaining to missionary outreach, the necessity of people hearing about Christ, that they can call upon him and be saved, and so that this can happen, that there be gospel emissaries who will proclaim the gospel truth and enable the Holy Spirit to work faith in the hearts of the multitude so they can embrace Christ as their Savior. And so Paul applied these words to ambassadors of the word of his own day, to preachers who were bringing the gospel to the far reaches of the Roman world of that time. They had beautiful feet indeed because of the message of release from the tyranny of sin and of Satan, which that gospel proclaimed. Released through faith in the once crucified but subsequently resurrected and glorified Lord Jesus Christ, who now is ready to come into the heart and life of anyone will turn to him in repentance and faith and embrace his saving redemption on Calvary's cross and receive the righteousness which Christ made available through his self-sacrifice simply by the taking of faith. Are there beautiful feet today?
Certainly.
Certainly they have beautiful feet in our generation who are bringing the gospel to the souls of men all about us. We think of the pastors of our congregation, especially at this time of the Mission Congress, we're thinking of our overseas missionaries and other assistants working in the overseas field who are breaking the bread of life to the spiritually famishing. And we praise them for these efforts. We thank God that we have a large missionary force, both sponsored by our synod and by our partner churches, who today are conducting a flourishing missionary enterprise in 34 foreign countries and territories of the globe. We thank God for the Lutheran Hour, which has been called the Air Arm of Missionary Advance, for our Lutheran Hour speakers, for the miracle of radio itself, which can carry the words proclaiming Christ's compassion round the world in 1/27th of a second. Certainly, our professional clergy, our missionaries, have beautiful feet. Their feet are beautiful because of the glorious gospel message they bring. But so also are the feet of our consecrated, dedicated laity who support our professionals at home and overseas with their interest in missionary events, with their intercessory prayers for our personnel working in our stead and the far-flung mission front, and with their sacrificial giving for the kingdom's cause. Why is it that all of us working together in the church are interested in the cause of missions and seek to promote the spread of the gospel over the world? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that's because we are convinced on the basis of what the Word of God teaches, that apart from Jesus Christ, every human being is born into this world spiritually dead and under the wrath of God, left to his just desert. He would have to experience the anger of a righteous and holy God in this life and then be ready to confront the doom of damnation in the hereafter, where their worm shall not die, their fire shall not be quenched, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They shall be separated forever from the presence of the Lord and the celestial joy of the saints. But that's where our wonderful gospel message comes in, which reminds us that despite men's sin, God nevertheless has loved the world of men. He loved them so much that he gave his only Son, and laid on him the iniquity of us all and of all men, of all ages and areas of human history. God dealt with his Son Jesus as the arch sin bearer and vented upon him his wrath. He, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, through faith, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And we have in our lives the wonderful gifts of salvation now, eternal life now, all of these good things, simply precursors of the ineffable glories which await us one day in the heavenly and eternal hereafter. And this is the message we want to share with all human beings. There but for the grace of God among them would you and I be going. Today only about 25% of the world, they tell us, is even nominally Christian. And people are proceeding to a Christless eternity of doom at the rate of more than 120,000 persons every 24 hours we live. By a miracle of the grace of God, he has called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. We want to bring that light to others who still sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, that they may see Christ who is the life, and embracing him in faith, have life now, have it abundantly, and have it eternally. That's why we're interested in the cause of missions. That's why we dedicate what we have and are to the Lord's service, especially also so that the cause of missionary enterprise can be promoted all over the world in our generation. It has been truly said, there is only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. With a holy fervor, let us exclaim together this evening, Christian missions, especially those which are promoted by our Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, Yes. The support of all of these gospel endeavors which bring Christ to the nations of the earth in our generation, yes. We devoting all of our resources, all that we have and are, also to this blessed purpose for which God leads the world stand. For Jesus himself said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Christian missions and their support with all that we have and are, yes, so help us God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen.